This is In My Opinion with your host, Ray Dosky.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to In My Opinion. I'm your host, Ray Dosky, here at National Sports Radio, WNSR. Thank you so much for joining me today. So much to talk about. We've got week six kicking off tonight between the Bucks and the Eagles. The Predators kick off their season tonight against the newly expanded Seattle Kraken. We'll talk a little NBA, give you some of my predictions for week six. But let me begin with this. On Sunday, my Washington football team, whatever you want to call them, is going to retire Sean Taylor's 21 jersey against the Kansas City Chiefs. This pisses me off so much because just the timing of all this couldn't be any worse. I am pissed as a fan, I'm lost for words at times because I'm just thinking to myself, look, you just had this situation with John Gruden and these emails being leaked out that connects something with the Washington football team and the former vice president, or president if you want to call him, Bruce Allen, by sending like these explicit like pictures of cheerleaders that are topless. Where in the Washington Post, it came out earlier in the year, where they were given or bribed by the Washington football team hush money to not reveal any more information or to go public with what they experienced during that time. And of course, we're talking about several years ago, 2 years ago when this thing came out. And what has Washington done? They've tried to rebuild their image. And you would think they were starting to do that, and then they decided to go do something so stupid to give you a 3-day notice to fans, to the family of Sean Taylor, say, we're going to retire your jersey. Let the guy rest in peace. The guy was a fan favorite. The moment he was drafted by the Washington, at the time the Redskins, till now, to do this to him? To do this now? Like, are you serious? What a deflection by you guys. Daniel Snyder, please sell the team because, look, there was a stat that came out that since 2008, apparently in terms of attendance, going to a Washington Redskins or slash football team game, was either one or two ranked in 2008. Once Daniel Snyder bought the team, he is now the 32nd in terms of attendance for fans to go to the game. And you know what's funny? If you ever watch Washington football games, when you're watching opposing teams, you'd always see more fans of the opposing teams at our home stadium than our own Washington football team. The seats were empty because the product sucked. Daniel Snyder treated this team like a fantasy football team. The guy's a fan. He was always a fan of Washington. He always said it himself. And he treats it like that. Then you hire Bruce Allen, trying to right that ship. He's a former Redskin. His dad was a former coach of the Washington football team back in the 70s. We're like, all right, we're going to right this ship. We're going to get this back. We're going to get back that winning culture. And what did he do? He had an abysmal 8-9 year run. To the point where, like, oh, fans, sports, like radio hosts, you name it, all media outlets were calling for his head. Like, this guy should not be the president of this team. And I spoke on my podcast earlier in the week where I said there has to be something else going on. There was some of the dirt, and then we saw what happened with John Gruden, and here we are. And then you decide to go ahead and double down on that by going and retiring Sean Taylor's jersey 3 days before the game. When you retire a player, and we've seen that even with Floyd Reese and other people here in the Titans, there's a formality of like trying to months in terms of preparation by telling, like, when you're an organization, you reach out to the family, like, hey, save the date. We're going to do this on this date. And you have 2 to 3 months to plan for that. Not 72 hours. Such a bonehead move by the Washington football team, by that organization. And it sucks for me to say this because I've been a fan since I was literally 7 years old. But I'm not surprised. This is such a Daniel Snyder move. It's written all over him. This is such a Daniel Snyder move that it frustrates me to hell. And I've spoken to fans. I've talked to media. I've reached out. They are pissed. They are pissed about what just went down, what was just released in terms of the news of retiring his jersey this coming Sunday. You don't do that, Washington. You don't do that. Danny Snyder, you do not do that. You know you're wrong. You're in the wrong here. You know that. Now, we don't know if this was something that was in the making, whatever, but it sounded a lot like, more or less like, here's my get out of free jail card. I'm keeping it in my back pocket or my ace out of my sleeve. When I know this is about, things are about to get really crazy because of all the stuff that's happened the last couple of years with the Washington Post and the cheerleaders coming out, speaking using their voices to speak on against this organization, their tenure there, how horrible it was. They needed something to save them. And they think that Sean Taylor, who's been dead since 2007, rest his soul, that this is a great deflection. You think fans are excited to hear about this? You think they are? No. The fans reacted the way I thought they were going to react and be super pissed about this. And it just comes to me, it has me thinking, like, what's next? Is there more? Because it's like, I just don't feel like it's done yet. Whether it be the Raiders or the Washington football team, I feel like there's just more to come. And that's what's really concerning. But Daniel Snyder, this is a bad move, dude. Daniel, this is such a bad move. You should not go through with this. What happened during that time when Bruce Allen was the president of the Washington football team and what was dealt with, all the reports are come out, and I've heard the NFLPA's, the players, are asking for whatever was done in that investigation with the Washington football team 2 years ago to be released. The NFL said, no, we're not going to release that. Well, because they know it's damaging. They know it's really damaging. They don't want more to come out. So I'm not going to talk about the Raiders and the John Gruden thing that I spoke on my podcast earlier in the week. That is done. We are moving forward from that. And here we are today dealing with another catastrophic blunder by Washington again, because it seems like that's all Daniel Snyder can do. By making the announcement that he's going to retire the number 21 jersey this coming Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Stupid. Just so stupid. Daniel Snyder, please sell the team. You just need to sell the team. That's great you're a fan, but you're not doing any good with that team. You've lost the fan base. You've been losing that fan base for years. I just had to get that off my chest. I just had to get that off my chest, get it out, because I feel like it's going to help me to kind of like cope through this, because I don't even know if I'm going to even watch the game on Sunday. I don't think I can watch or view this debacle that Daniel Snyder is continuing to create with my one cherished franchise team that I grew up like loving and cherishing. And it's just really sad. It's just really sad that they would do that. But it's going to get done, and I'm not going to partake in it. I spoke my piece on it. Whatever you want to do, you're losing me as a fan. You've been losing me as a fan for the last several years, and I just don't know what to do anymore. I just don't know anymore. So, yeah. So that is my frustrations with that. I can't believe that happened. I don't know if you guys saw what Amari Cooper said the other day. He had tweeted something out that I felt was pretty interesting about these Washington Redskins football rivals, Dallas Cowboys, about how there's a certain surge of how, you know, the 4-1 start, they're looking really supportive. He said basically, when you are on a roll like this, you start thinking about a Super Bowl. Sure you do. They're clicking on all cylinders, that Cowboys defense, that Cowboys offense, that team as a whole is in symmetry. So if you were to ask me who I'd give the most credit for that team in terms of like their early success, honestly, it's Dan Quinn. He has come in and he's basically reshaped that entire defense. They've got talent. He's utilizing them to the best of their abilities, playing them in positions that they feel like. I feel like that defense has improved under Quinn so much that has made him the team they are today. We know what Kellen Moore could do. Kellen Moore's offense has always been efficient, throw, you know, over 400 yards. We saw the first couple weeks last year when Dak Prescott was healthy before he was out in injury against, I think it was the Giants. They were killing I mean, Dak was just running through teams, but didn't have a defense that can carry that weight for them. Much like the Kansas City Chiefs that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes with Pat Mahomes. But the Dallas Cowboys, yes, they are a Super Bowl favorite now. They're probably one of the top three teams in the NFC. And they can contend. They're playing really well. They look like they're one of the most balanced teams in the NFC. We know the Bucs look great, but they're beat up in that secondary. They're really beat up in that secondary. You look at the Packers. Packers, same thing. Packers, Bucs, Cowboys, all prolific offenses. But I would have to rate Dallas's defense, and it sucks when we say that because, you know, I am a Washington fan, and they are, like, my biggest rival. And I can't root for them, but I have to speak the real here. I have to speak the truth here. The Cowboys, defensively, are better than the other two teams right now. Better than the Packers and better than the Bucs. Yes, the Bucs have a great defensive line. They can stop the run. But they can't stop a lick in terms of the passing. So don't be surprised if Jalen Hurts goes over like 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, and Devontae Smith has a great game tonight. Don't be surprised whatsoever. But yeah, I agree with Amari Cooper. Yes, you guys are a Super Bowl favorite. Yes, you should think like, you know, the Super Bowl because you're right in the thick of things. You are a threat to the Bucs, who you literally were neck and neck the first game of the season. In September, you guys were neck and neck. That came down to the wire. So I know the confidence is there. You guys feel like you can beat the Bucs, and I think you can beat the Bucs, especially now. So I would give my credit to Dan Quinn and that defensive coaching staff for what they've done. They've done a number of great things on that defensive side, coaching up these players. You got a Michael Parsons, rookie linebacker now / defense end, or more or less that joker. Plays kind of like anywhere in that front seven. You got Diggs in that corner. He's playing lights out. He's got more interceptions than games played this year. I think he's got six interceptions to 5 games. He's playing balls out crazy. You've got an impact player at every position now. Now you just got to just keep adding from it, keep running with it. And you're looks like the schedule gets easier. The NFC looks like, you know, there's no one's really threatening you. Washington defensively sucks. Where Ron Rivera came out and said, oh, we're not worried about the defense. Yeah, we're not worried about the defense. There's no decisions for any changes to make right now. Are you serious, dude? What game are you watching? What team are you watching? Defensively, this team doesn't look like it isn't prepared at all each week. They just don't look like they're prepared. They don't look like the team they were last year defensively. If you only added one or two pieces, other than that, you've been the same team. Eagles, hot, cold. We don't know what's going on. Giants, they live and die by Daniel Jones. That's it. Defensively, they kind of looked average. They kind of looked like they fought games. Daniel Jones, he was concussed last week it was really bad against the Cowboys. Kenyan Galladay also hurt. Shep, looks like a lot of their core position players on the offensive side are hurt. And we all know about Saquon Barkley. He's got that swollen ankle. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks, probably 4 weeks now. So, Cowboys, it's your division. Run with it. So, yes, I give credit for Dan Quinn for making those changes, making the Cowboys the threat that they are today. But then you look at the Kansas City Chiefs. And you have to ask yourself, is Mahomes trying to do too much? Kansas City revamped its offensive line, but in all reality, they're still the same team. They're still the same team. Defensively, they still got the same core players and Kelsey and Hill. They got Clyde Edwards-Helaire still dealing with injury. It looks like he can't stay healthy. They're looking for a back. Always looks like it's always been that search. They've always been looking for that back. But defensively, this team sucks. They're ranked 32nd in the league. Dead last in terms of points given away. And I feel like because of that, that puts a lot of pressure on Mahomes to do too much with his little, like, you know, airing out whatever. Which is probably why he's throwing the most interceptions ever in his career this season. And we're only in what? Going into week 6? It's a lot of pressure for Mahomes. But I know they have confidence in the team. I know they're going to have confidence with the players. I know the scheme, Andy Reid, what have you. I feel like they're going to right that ship. They're going to get better. I think right now, it's just they're just going through those bumps in the road, if you will. and you see other teams like Buffalo, they're kind of just, they got them at the right time. They beat them. I picked them last week to win. Then they did. I mean, it felt like Kansas City was never in the game. I feel like Buffalo could move and score at will. Defensively, you know, they gave up points to the Chiefs, you know, because, you know, Kansas City is still a prolific offense. Regardless of who they play, regardless of how great your defense is, Kansas City is still going to put points on you. Defensively, they can't stop anybody, and that is a problem. You look at Baltimore. Baltimore is – and here's my thing. If you caught that Colts game, I'm just like – and I spoke about this earlier. I'm like, this guy, Lamar Jackson, is like – he's in the discussions for MVP this year already. Let's be real here. With Josh Allen, with Kyler Murray, with Aaron Rodgers, with Tom Brady, he's in that – and Justin Herbert, he's in that mix. Dak Prescott. It's going to be a crazy MVP race this year. It's probably going to be one of the best ever, honestly. But Lamar Jackson's been playing lights out. I think that if he's without that, if he's not there, this team is probably like a 1-4, you know, 0-5 team. Had some close games, tough games, brought him back, won games, you know, so, and they get a tough matchup this week against the Chargers. I'll give you my predictions later in the podcast. A team that I'm surprised about that looks like it's kind of like getting in their way is when there's two teams. There's the Colts and the Steelers. The Steelers finally were able to protect Big Ben, and they were able to score points and win last week against the Broncos. And I feel like that momentum is going to continue this week. I feel like they've got the shot. They can get into a little momentum, you know. I just got to see where it goes with this. They could get Najee Harris running. They lost Juju for the rest of the year. That's fine. Deontay Johnson, James Washington, Claypool, they still have the nucleus of times there. It was all about the offensive line because it was a lot of reshape in terms of, you know, getting players in and getting used to what's going on in that scheme, making them, and it showed last week against Denver. They were able to collectively come together and win the game. And the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts looked great against Baltimore. They looked fantastic against Baltimore. I was super, super surprised that they, and I didn't expect them to go down the wire. I really didn't. I really didn't think it was going to go down to the wire. I didn't expect it to be that type of game. And guess what? It was. It was a high-scoring, effective game. Colts were able to move the ball at will. It just feels like they kind of put it on cruise control in that second half, especially the last quarter. And that was upsetting to see because I really felt like they had that game at hand. But now they're starting to click on all cylinders. I think that Carson Wentz is starting to figure out where he is, trying to get in sync players with Pittman and stuff like that. I think that he's going to get better. Hilton's all soon to come back as well. I think it's another team to watch out for. That gets back into running the way that I feel like this team can be. So let's get into some predictions here. Oh, before we get into predictions, let's go to predictions and I'll talk about the NHL Predators starting tonight. Their season kicks off, and then we'll talk some NBA later in the podcast as well. But let's talk about predictions. We've got a few teams on bye this week. And for me, it starts off tonight. Bucks, Eagles. Who are we picking? Well, I know that Tom Brady has been dealing with an injured finger. It's a little swollen, but he's been practicing all week, and I don't believe that the Bucks would put him out there to play. They felt like he couldn't go and cause more injury to his hand already. But it looks like he's ready to go. He's 4-0 in the regular season against the Eagles during his time with the Patriots. Now, granted, he lost that big game, the biggest game in the Eagles in the Super Bowl several years ago. But still, I'm not worried about it. I'm taking Tom Brady against the Philadelphia Eagles in Philly tonight, 31-24, which I think is supposed to be a shootout because I think Jalen Hurts is going to put some yards tonight. Then we have another game over the pond between the Miami Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And this is like, do I really need to pick a game here? Like, do I really need to pick a game? Like, it's just like, doesn't matter which way you go. Miami has looked horrible. Tua might not play. And we all know what's going on with Jacksonville. It seems like just Jacksonville is going to be eventually called the London Jaguars because I know that the owner, Shaw, is going to eventually want to take that team overseas and make them their team in Europe. Seems like that's a plan for the NFL because the Jaguars has the most, like they have a ton of games. They always play every year in London. Every year they're always playing in London. But then you've got Urban Meyer, and I just wish Urban Meyer was just a better coach. I feel like he was always better prepared. Like, it's just so hard, even with a game coming up against the Miami Dolphins, who's banged up, no Parker, no Fuller. Like, you have pieces in play. But I just can't trust you because you have some talented role players and Marvin Jones and you have James Robinson, who, by the way, like I told you earlier, like, I don't know if you saw the stat or what he wanted, but he basically said that, you know, I want to be able to have 250 yards rushing and 250 yards passing. Really, dude? Look, man, Urban Meyer, I got to tell you something straight. Dude, you're like the Ohio University and everyone else in the NFL is like Ohio State. Okay? Like, you need to stop. Anybody would love to have those numbers, but they're just impossible. No one gets 250 yards rushing and 250 yards passing in a game each week. 500 yards of offense? No, no, no. If you were coming to the NFL, if you came in day in, day out, and put maybe some more work in, maybe you could get 400 yards a game. That seems more attainable. 400 yards, 425 yards a game. That's more attainable. But I see the Miami ending its four-game win losing streak against the Jaguars. I'm picking Dolphins 24-17 over the Jags. Then I got the Kansas City Chiefs and Washington football team. We all seen what they can do. They can't stop body. They can't stop anyone. They're giving up a ton of points defensively, whether it be pass, run. They just feel like they just look lost at times. They're not prepared defensively. Offensively, we all know that the Kansas City Chiefs do give up points, 24-25. Average points to opposing teams. So it should be a shootout. So I'm going to go Chiefs 34. I'm going to go Washington 27 here. I think Pat Mahomes will get back on track here. I really do. I feel like last week's going to be over. They'll let that go. Let the Buffalo loss learn, go on, build from, on, because you're still relatively a good team. You're still a Super Bowl contender in my eyes. Then we got the Los Angeles Rams against New York Giants. We all know Daniel Jones is still in the concussion protocol. So it could be a Mike Glennon quarterback situation with the Giants. Where's Mike Glennon been? Well, he's been backing up the Rams, the Giants quarterback for 2 years now. And here he is. He might get a start. And you'll be without Saquon Barkley. Yep, I'm going Rams. Not even going to think about it. 27 Rams, 13 Giants. That's my score. That's what I'm going with. Then you got the Houston Texans against the Colts. And I said the Colts are starting to click on all cylinders. They're looking good. I knew Houston's more or less that scary team. But I am not trusting the Houston Texans. I'm going with the Colts 31-17 over the Texans. Then you've got the Cincinnati Bengals against Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell crying about how he lost and whatever. And I feel bad for the guy, and I feel bad for Detroit fans, and I feel bad for the Detroit team because I feel like they're going to come out with a lot of passion because they're going to see their coach came out on the podium post-game, start crying, was upset. Get it. This guy wants to win. I've been telling you guys, Dan Campbell is a lot like Mike Vrabel. He's an alpha male. Losing for him is hard. But unfortunately, you're going against a Cincinnati team that's just clicking. They're just kicking butt. They have been fireworks week in and week out. They basically took the Packers. A-Rod, he's a bad man. Devontae Adams and company to the wire. To the wire. Lost by 3. So I'm going Joe Burrow and the Bengals 31-10 over the Lions. Then you got the Green Bay Packers versus Chicago Bears. And I don't know if you guys saw what Aaron Rodgers said the other day. He said that there's only one team he will never play for. And I threw out guesses of like the Detroit Lions, maybe Washington. No, it's the Chicago Bears. He said he will never, ever, ever play for Chicago. Well, never say never, because you know that your boy Brett Favre played for Minnesota. And it wasn't because he wanted to play for Minnesota. It's because he wanted to get back at Green Bay. And we all seen what your relationship has been like with Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. So don't get surprised if like you showed up on a division team like a Minnesota or whatever. Always keep your options open, because if you decide you want to come back next year or you go do Jeopardy or whatever you want to do, Chicago might be an interesting spot. They do have some pieces there. They have a good defense. They've got core players. They've got a great running back. They've got a good wide receiver. You've got core players there. You can win with that team. But Chicago, they ain't winning this week. I got the Green Bay Packers winning 28 over the Bears 14. Then you got the LA Chargers versus the Baltimore Ravens. Both are 4-1, both on winning streaks. Chargers 2-0 away, Ravens 2-0 at home. And this was such a get me game because I'm like, who do you go with? Who do you go with here? Who do you go with? Because the Chargers are not that great against the run. They're not that great against the run. Lamar Jackson playing lights out. I told you he's an MVP candidate. But does this help the Ravens? Since the Chargers are so bad in the running game, do they help the Ravens get back on track again? Maybe, maybe not. I just feel like there's too much firepower on that Chargers side that the Ravens can't keep up with. So I've got the Ravens winning 42-34 over the Ravens. Then I got the Minnesota Vikings versus the Carolina Panthers. I'm going Vikings here. I know Carolina's played great. They've got a great defense, whatever. I like Minnesota. I think that this game is going to be decided on the matchup in terms of offense, not defense. Because defensively, Minnesota's kind of stepped up a little bit the last couple weeks. They've played some grud-out games. They've done well. But I feel like the Vikings are going to get the best out of this game. They're going to get the best of Carolina. They're going to win 24-21 over the Panthers. Then you got the Arizona Cardinals versus the Cleveland Browns. Arizona didn't look that great last week against the 49ers. Kyler Murray and that winning streak ends this week against that Cleveland Browns team and that defense. Because not only will Cleveland play them hard defensively, they've got the edge rushers to contain Kyler Murray, keep him up, you know, to make sure he doesn't run outside the pocket, which he loves to do because he loves to make plays outside the pocket with his feet. He does it. He's done it for the last five games. He played the Rams well. But I think Arizona's just a lot. I just feel like Cleveland's going to get them this week. They're at Cleveland. I feel like the two-headed monster between Hunt and Chubb, they're going to run the ball, keep Murray off the field. Give me the Browns at home, 28-24 over the Cardinals. Then you got the Las Vegas Raiders, who we all know is going through so much, the players, organization, what have you, because of the whole John Gruden email news that came out just several days ago. And then you going against the Denver Broncos. I just feel there's too many distractions. A lot of people might think that, oh, it's going to be the same game script. They're just going to go out there. Distraction won't be much. No, there will be distraction. There's going to be a lot of distraction. Even though the players did nothing, they're going to that's still going to be lingered in their mind. You never know. Sometimes some of these players are able to have like that off and on switch where they just go onto the field and like everything that's off the field, they just leave it off the field and they just get in the game because those three for that 3 hours, they can just basically just escape and just do what they need to do, play the game, and run with it. I just feel like all the stuff that's going on with the Raiders, I don't see them regrouping here. I think the regrouping is going to take a couple weeks. And as you all seen, the offense has kind of fizzled some in the past 2 weeks. And I think the Denver defense is going to continue that. They're going to kind of control that defensive, the offensive side of the Las Vegas Raiders. So I've got the Broncos winning 21-17 over the Raiders. Then you got the Cowboys versus the Patriots. Give me the Cowboys. They're kicking all the cylinders. They're Super Bowl favorites. Dak and company are just killing it. Give me Dallas. I'm going with them. Then you got the Seattle Seahawks versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not taking Geno Smith. Russell Wilson's out for a couple months after that he injured his finger last week. Give me Pittsburgh, who's been playing better as of late. Seems like they found some life on offense against Denver last week, like I said earlier. And if you, Seattle's defense is awful. It just is god awful. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers 27-14 over the Seahawks. Then we have Monday night, Buffalo Bills versus the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans have always played to the level of competition. I've said that here on the afternoon stretch with Bruno and Zach. And it showed a couple weeks ago when they played against the Jets. They played down to their competition, and they actually ended up losing to the Jets. And there's times where they're underdogs and they win. Like, for example, last year, they were an underdog to Buffalo on a short week. During that, they had to play like on a Tuesday or whatever, COVID and stuff like that, and spanked Buffalo. And you're like, oh, well, they're going to do it again because this week, guess what? They're 5 or 5.5 underdogs against the Buffalo Bills. Well, guess what? That team is not – this Titans team this year is not the same team last year. Defensively, yes, they're still the same team. They're still the same team. But offensively, they're not. A.J. Brown, banged up. Julio Jones, banged up. Jonnu Smith, not here anymore. Offensive line, can't keep Tannehill up. He's giving up like literally 4 to 6 sacks a game. Last year, that offensive line was better than it is this year. And that's a minus Taylor Lewan. Like I've spoke to you earlier, I think he might be a cap casualty coming up the season. He's a great personality. You know, busting with the boys. He's fun. He's hilarious. All that stuff. I just feel like sometimes he's just got so many things going on that he's just, football might not be it for him. Maybe he's kind of like finding out that he's more or less in the back end of his career. You know, maybe it's just, that's it. But he could start a left tackle for other teams, but I don't know if it's going to be here with Tennessee. Because they didn't need him last year when they had a 2,000-yard rusher in Derrick Henry. There's no issues there. Came this year, it looks like there's just a little shuffle in terms of like the defense, the offensive line. I just don't see it happening. Give me Buffalo and give me confidently 34-21 on Monday night against the Titans. Because I just don't know if Julio's healthy. I don't know if A.J. Brown's healthy. I think they're going to put too much on Derrick Henry's plate because he's had an average of 28 carries a game. That's a ton. I mean, in terms of longevity, we're only in week 6. What's going to happen when we're in week 12, week 15? Then possibly, you know, because we don't end the season until the first week of January. So we don't know how long Derrick Henry, who's like that ultimate grind, like gridiron, like Iron Man, we don't know how long he'll last in terms of keeping those carries, keeping up with his body because – as you get longer into the season and those hits keep coming, eventually it's going to wear him out. I don't care how big you are. That's just too much on Derrick Henry. But let's talk about some Predators tonight. Predators kick off their season this season tonight against the newly expanded Seattle Kraken. I don't know if you guys checked out the Seattle Kraken. I love their jerseys. I love all the Seattle jerseys. Seattle Mariners, the Seahawks. I even like back in the day when they had the Seattle Supersonics. Like I was a big Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, like Dynamic Duo. Sean Kemp was my dude, the guy, the way he dunked, whatever. I just can't never, ever find myself finding any hate towards the Seattle like city itself. Because they always have the coolest jerseys. And the Kraken, you can't go wrong with the Kraken. The Kraken's such a cool logo. It was like a little sea monster, whatever. You know, that fictional sea monster. He's so cool. And Seattle kicked off their season 2 nights ago against a prior expanded team in the Vegas Knights. And they looked good. They came out, they were up 3-0, I think, in the first period, whatever. And then they're falling short to Vegas 4-3. And then they get a second crack at tonight against the Predators, who had some news earlier this week. I don't know if you guys saw that, where they signed Matthias Ekholm to a very team-friendly deal. I mean, he's one of their stalemates, a defendant. He's been with them since 2017. But we all know what's going on here. If you've not known, but the Nashville Predators are probably now one of the youngest teams in the NHL. So you're hearing rebuild. You're seeing rebuild. They're not using the word rebuild, but they are definitely rebuilding. They're injecting a lot of youth. They've got still, you know, some veterans like Mikael Granlund and Roman Josi. They've got some guys there still to kind of help these younger players out. But it's really going to come back to like where it's going to happen with the season in terms of goaltending, because that was always an issue last year. But it's a very unique rookie, like veteran lineup. But like I said, this is a team this year going in towards that expansion. I mean, this year as they go into that rebuild against this expansion team as they kick off tonight with the Seattle Kraken. And it should be fun to watch. I just want Predator fans to kind of temper expectations. And Predator fans are intelligent. They're smart. They know how this team works. They know that they're in a rebuild mode, even though the general manager of Poli has not said that, oh, we're rebuilding. No, we know that. So it should be a fun game tonight. Predators tonight kicking off. I don't know where to see them, but if this year, it's all about it's all about Colorado, Tampa Bay, Vegas. You got Toronto Maple Leafs, and then you got the Bruins. Bruins are always the top five. And then you got some dark horses like, you know, the Boston, the Penguins, who looked great on their opening game last night, minus a Sidney Crosby. And then you got my Washington Capitals, who I think is like middle of the pack in terms of if they're a favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year. And this is Laviolette's third year, and we all see what he's done with prior teams. He's taken the Predators to the Stanley Cup, not winning it there. He took the Carolina Panthers when they were expansion team, won it with them. So I think they're like a dark horse too. You still have your Alex Ovechkin. You still have you guys. You have your core players there. So But if I were to pick somebody this year in terms of dark horse, I'm going to go Boston. I think defensively, they're just a solid team. Tampa Bay's there. They're always going to look. I mean, you can't go against a Stamkos-led team. They just offensively are just a juggernaut. They're just a juggernaut. But I'm going to take the Bruins. I don't want to take, because you always see like these guys who are like first seeds every year going to the NHL playoffs, and they get bounced out really early. So I don't really buy into the first seeds. Team wise, yeah. Like even look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're always great during the season. But when it comes to the postseason, they just can't turn it on, and they end up, they either lose in the conference final or the conference final before, you know, going to the Stanley Cup, or they bounce out a little early. So they're always hot or cold when it comes to like the playoffs. And I like the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've got a young, talented squad. They're fun. They're fast. So I'm excited to see what happens with the Predators this year. I expect a year of growth with these young guys, what have you. I'm excited to see. So yeah, the NHL kicks off tonight. And what are we are? Several days away for the NBA to kick off. I'm not going to talk about Kyrie Irving. I know he asked for people to respect his decision about him making whatever stand he wants against the whole COVID thing. Because, look, Kyrie, you made your stance. Now the Nets have made their stance. And they're not going to allow you to practice or play with them unless you can be a full participant. Now the ball's in your court. So don't be surprised if Kyrie comes out and says he's going to be retired. And see, look, there was talks about him retiring. He said if he retires, the trade talks, with Kyrie Irving. Here's my flip thought on that. Kyrie said that if he gets traded, he'll retire before he gets traded. Well, I think it depends on where you go. Well, you would retire if you go to Miami, which the COVID like restrictions are not as hard as New York, because New York requires everyone to be vaccinated in the workplace. It's a state mandate. That's how it is. But in Florida, a little more relaxed. So if you were to go down and play with Jimmy Butler and squad and Kyrie, like, will you really, really want to retire? I mean, Miami squad looks a pretty solid squad. It just depends on where he goes. And we're going to respect your decision, but you understand, you have to respect what's also going on with the coaches, the players as well, because they're counting on you this year as well. So, but there's talks where the general manager of the 76ers, he came out and said that, you know, that he's always had this infatuation with James Harden. And I don't know, he doesn't want to go after Kyrie because Kyrie's off the table. That's what the Nets said. Kyrie's off the table. He's not going to be traded. But maybe a James Harden. Maybe what's going on in Brooklyn might be a little too much for these other stars. That maybe James Harden's like, you know what? Maybe I want out. Would it be a James Harden straight up for Ben Simmons? Maybe, because we all know Ben Simmons come back. He says, oh, it's water on the bridge. We're good. Me, you 76ers. We ready to start the season. Okay, whatever. We all know that's not going to be the way. We know that Embiid's come out, said stuff. There's some beef there. It's an underlying tension. There's underlying tension with Doc Rivers and with that coaching staff. So we don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that I can see the future where that Ben Simmons is no longer a 76er. Probably by missing, he'll be traded. After all the antics that went on, he'll be traded. Now, would a James Harden, Ben Simmons trade happen? No, possibly not. I'd love to see James Harden in 76ers. Him and Joel Embiid, oh, they'd be dominant. They'd be so dominant. Joel Embiid, probably the best big man behind the Joker in the NBA. You get a shooter and James Harden on the outside. You guys can do so much damage. And the rest of the nucleus of that team, solid. But as long as the Nets dominate the news right now, LeBron James came out and said, like, I think it was on Twitter, or he was in a post-game interview after in practice one day. Not post-game, but post-interview after practice one day, where he said, like, look, right off the gate, we're not going to look great. It's going to take a little while for us to kind of get going. So there's going to be some bumps and bruises here. But we know what type of team we can effectively be moving forward. We just got to get there. And we've all seen this, right? Where we get like these top style, like these stars, these caliber stars that comes in and they make these formerly super teams. Now, granted, this Laker team was probably the best team in 2014, 2012, maybe. This squad would have been fantastic. It's like the USA team. But you got some of these players on the back end of, you know, their careers. Like a Carmelo Anthony. You still got Rondo still there. LeBron James going into his 19th season. It's amazing I'm saying that. He's going into his 19th season in the NBA. Guy looks like he's in shape. Looks like he's never missed a beat. Like, he looks healthy. He looks happy. I think he's kind of glad the Nets are taking all the attention away from them. As the Nets continue to deal with their stuff with Kyrie Irving in that little situation, the Lakers will be like, you know what? We're going to work on us. Gives us time to kind of get it to sync with one another. Because we added a lot of different pieces. Rondo's back. He knows the system. Carmelo Anthony's there. Russell Westbrook is there. We got to get these guys together. How are we going to gel? How are we going to gel? So the first couple weeks might be bumpy. Expect that, Laker fans. Expect that. But LeBron James puts together winning teams. He puts in winning squads, championship squads. He's always done that. He's always been the coach. I have no doubt in my mind that the Lakers will be a perennial favorite by midseason. I know the Nets have it right now. I know the Nets have it. Have the nab. You ask yourself, do the Nets have enough to win the championship without Kyrie? Yes. I mean, you got Durant. He's probably, arguably the best player in the NBA right now. Right? James Harden, probably top 10 in the NBA right now. But is that enough? Is that enough? Kyrie does not hurt that situation. It helps it. But the problem is that Kyrie always worries about, he's always going to worry about Kyrie first. And that can be daunting to this team that he put together. So I wonder if Durant and Harden, like, yo, what did we do? Like, did we really make the right decision to come here and play with Kyrie? I know we were boys and all, but like, we weren't expecting this. So the NBA season is going to be really interesting to see. You know, you got a lot of players coming back healthy. You've got Klay Thompson coming back for that. Watch out for Golden State. You got Golden State coming back. I mean, that's going to be a nice squad there. It's going to be a really nice squad there. Because they were like the eighth seed last year with just Steph Curry alone. And now you bring who? That's right. You bring Klay Thompson back, who was a vital part in that team. Draymond Green. The nucleus is there. You have a young, young team that could be really scary. Phoenix, we all know what Phoenix can do, right? We all know what Phoenix can do. Because they have the squad there. They're bringing back, they brought back Chris Paul. It looks like they could be a favorite coming out this year as well. So I try to see what's the best way to guess who's going to win the championship. If I had to take anyone right now, it'd probably be the Lakers from the West. In terms of the East, I like Miami a lot. I really like that team down in Miami. I feel that they're flying under the radar. That Chicago team looks young. They look different. They got DeRozan up there. They look great as well. But I just don't know what to expect there whatsoever. So it's going to be really interesting, fascinating to see. You can't count out Denver, Utah, hit or miss, what have you. Philadelphia, it all depends on what happens with Ben Simmons. Celtics, they're hot or cold. Dallas on the West. I mean, there's so many. I can't wait for the NBA season to start. I cannot wait for the NBA to start. But it's only a matter of time. We are only a few days away. We're only a few days away until the season starts, and I cannot wait. Now it seems like NHL's kicking off. The NHL's kicking off. The NBA's kicking off. I can't wait. But let's get it. Week 6 starts off. I'll be, by the way, you can check me out on social media. You can find me at NFL.junkie, JUNKIE, on Instagram, where I do a lot of start sits. I talk a lot about NFL, post a lot of news. I chat it up with the followers. We have a lot of great times. We have debates as well. Whatever. It's an open forum. So if you haven't a chance, please check that page out. If you like what you see, smack that follow button. I guarantee you you'll like what you see. So let's give that a shot. You also find me at Ray Dosky, WNSR on Twitter, where I just come out and I put all kinds of stuff out there. Please follow me and check me out there as well. But, yeah, other than that, I'm Ray Dosky, and this is In My Opinion.